Forget about lunch. We'll push through. It's a whole book. I haven't preached on a book before. This morning I'm going to do it like that. So, but some good news, it's only one page. So only four chapters. And you'll be okay. If you've got a big Bible, then it is not as long, you know. But we actually are going to read through the whole book of Jonah. That's my second girl, Isabella's, favorite story. At nighttime when we read stories, I can't remember how many times I've read this Jonah story. I always have to come back to Jonah. So often I have to tell her, no, we can't read Jonah tonight. We've got to pick a new one, at least. But some or another time, we always end up at Jonah. But I wanted to read on Jonah this morning just through a different lens. I think we're all familiar. If you're in church, or you grew up and all of that, you've probably heard the story. By the way, I just want to say, if you're visiting here this morning and it's strange to you, the tongue thing, that is according to 1 Corinthians 13, 14, what we're doing. But you're welcome to ask questions. Why are we doing what we're doing? If you want to do that afterwards, you're welcome to approach me and ask me questions. I wouldn't feel offended to explain to you, just so you don't feel uncomfortable. So Jonah, the first time we hear about Jonah is in 2 Kings 14, when we read about his reign or as a prophet where he was operating there. Interesting that during his reign, it's awkward to look at this empty chair. I hate that, you know. Well, I'll look at you. I'm going to ask you next time to move a little bit forward, and I always see opportunity when I look at this. But anyway, so we see in 2 Kings 14 that we read about Jonah. During his reign, he was an evil king, I think, at that time. Nevertheless, when they operated according to the prophecy, they were actually very prosperous. They restored the borders of Israel. But this morning, as I said, I wanna look at it through the lens of God's calling upon Jonah's life. So if you want to go with me, turn to your Bibles to Jonah, first chapter, and you can keep it there. We're going to read through that. I'm going to try and go through the first chapter first, and then I share a few thoughts on that this morning. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for the evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found the ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare. Always when you run away from God, you go down and you pay the fare. Huh? And went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. I think Afrikaans translation says they let loetjies getrek. What's that in English? Pull lots, yeah. That's how they decided. Tomorrow night we have elders meeting. We're going to pull lots about a lot of decisions, eh? Okay. Cast lots, sorry. Pull lots, okay. We don't know. I think if we do that today, then people will look at us. God, you pray, man. Pray about this stuff. Don't cast lots. Lord, we're not sure about this decision. Werner, can you pick a straw, pick a stick for us? We've got the short one. Okay. Anyway, let's carry on. And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know one on whose account this evil has come upon us." And God has seen this lots thing as well. So they cast the lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Faithful. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation and where do you come from? What is your country and what are your people of? Cotton Eye Jonah." Come on, young people, don't you know that song? Where do you come from? What is your job? Okay. And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is it that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. And then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. Thank you. I love it when people help me preach. He said to them, pick me up and hold me into the sea, then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to the dry land. But they could not, for the sea grew more and more. Help me. Tempestuous. My tongue just can't get around that one this morning. Okay. Against them. Therefore they called out to the Lord, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay us not on innocent blood for you, O Lord. Have done as it pleased to you. So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. We can go back to verse 3. Back up. That's it. Okay. Sorry about that. Seems our battery, that was not ever ready. It's never ready. Okay. Right, we're back to verse 3. But Jonah rose to flee from Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. We'll just read verse 3 there. Interesting when we read 1 Kings, when God calls Elijah, for example, and he gives him instruction to do certain things, I find that the same God would place the same calling on two different men, yet I find two different responses. When he calls Elijah, what Elijah went to do, and now we have Jonah, situation with Jonah. Same God calls upon both of them, and you might be sitting here this morning, and I want to say that right from the start, that each and every one of us has got a calling. Calling is not just somebody standing here in front and full-time ministry. You've got a calling for something specifically that God has called you and purposed you. And God calls Jonah, and we know the story, Jonah runs away from God's presence. See, my friends, you either run to or you run from God, away from God. In your marriage, in your finances, with the children at home that feels like, I don't want to say terrorists. I had somebody saying that the other day. Terrible to hear that, but anyway, let's move on. You either run to God when God gives you instruction, or you run away from that. Because I want to ask you this morning, do you have the instinct that when you hear an instruction from God, when you hear from God, that you see it as an interruption, or do you see it as an invitation? It rhymes. You see, I had to put a little bit of effort in there. Anyway, I think sometimes we can be so occupied with, I find in my own life, and I have failed the test miserably, that I can be so occupied doing my kind of thing, even in church, and God wants to or interrupt me subtly, just coming in and then, don't interrupt me now. And I'm so blind that I sometimes just miss it. And God comes with instruction, and I might see it as an interruption rather than an invitation this morning. I want to ask you this morning, what is your response when God talks to you? When God ministers to you or wants to address certain things in your life, do you run to Him or do you run away from that? Because you're afraid of the consequences. You're afraid of what would happen if I run to Him, if I obey Him. You see, the ladies, I got to say this. Ladies, hear me on this. Men, you can listen to this as well. They would tell you, it's not what you say, it's how you say this. That's important, okay? Tell you, I don't care what you say, it's how you say that. Okay, the ladies will tell us, men, help us sometimes when we're a bit, I would say, ongevoelig. Sometimes it's how you say that. And I want to say to you this morning, it's how you hear God's instructions in life, on your life, that will determine how you respond. Because if you look at it through a lens of always, I want to say, God has got, there's a problem with me. God is always, and you hear things what you're not ought to hear. And how you hear will determine how you respond. How you respond will determine where you end up eventually, your destiny, as with Jonah. Jonah, I think he had major problems. But anyway, let's give him some credit first this morning. Because at least Jonah was honest. Look at verse 10. He says there, where is it? Verse 10, oh, sorry, I'm in the wrong book. The wind took me to the wrong page. Okay. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to them, "What is this that you've done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told him. I mean, I like Jonah. He at least told him. He was at least honest, man. I'm running away from God. This is why I'm here this morning. A lot of us, we're not even honest about that. We will just, you know, I'm okay. Now leave me, man. I'm okay. But actually, just running away from God. No, I'm okay. Surely, I'm okay. I'm Lord, and the Lord talks to us sometimes. You know, we have those God moments, and Lord's, listen, I'm ministering to you this morning. Actually, it's you. That invitation is you. No, Lord, I'm okay. It's okay. Jonah was at least honest with the people, and he admitted that he ran away from God. I want to say to you this morning, irrespective of where you find yourself, and you're running maybe away, or hopefully running to God, but today's, there's an old age-old saying, today's regrets, today's excuses are tomorrow's regrets. And the excuses we offer God so often, we will pay the price later. Young people, it's hidden. It doesn't come in the way we expect it to look like. It wouldn't tell you that if you continue cheating in high school, you'll become stupid one day. Well, I'll tell you, just one more time. You can have it one more. Just bend it a little bit more. Because it's disguised somewhere. Because if it will allow you to see it for what it is, you will not let it in through the door. And when God calls upon us and he gives us a certain, or he confirms our calling, or he ministers to us in certain areas, and we're sometimes afraid to go there, and we start running, eventually we pay the fare, as Jonah. Someone other time alone. I want to go a little bit deeper. Jonah 1 verse 2 says, listen to this. "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." Listen to how God addresses Nineveh. Is that the right pronunciation? Nineveh? Okay. He says, that great city. Now, if you read the whole book, you'll find it's probably, I think, about 15 times he refers to them as that great city. But seeing in context, apart from the fact that it was a big, large city, in context, God also saw potential there. He saw something that Jonah didn't see. Because if you would ask Jonah, tell us a little bit more about that city. Jonah wouldn't call it a great city. No. You got to give Jonah credit, at least. I have to give you some background here. These people were not the friends of the Israelites. They were enemies, barbaric people. History tells us, that's what the scholars say, that the people would take of that city, or maybe the surrounding nations or whoever as well, but there specifically as well, they would take, when they were in war, they would take people captive, kill some of them and take some captive. Then they would walk into the city and they will give the remaining captives, or they will give them the skulls of the people that died in war, put it on poles, and then they have to walk like that in the city. Now the Lord sends him to that city. God, surely, Lord, we have to talk about this. It's not, I can just identify sometimes when the Lord sometimes tells you something, you think, well, Lord, I have to think about this one. Anyway, nevertheless, if you look at the people, if you look at the calling that God has placed upon his life, these people, the way they acted, I mean, Jonah was kind of, I don't want to say justified, but it